Appreciate those beautiful songs. Certainly we want to send the light to every corner of the world that people might have the opportunity to obey the gospel. Our mission is to spread the gospel. Our mission is to tell others about Jesus Christ. Our mission is to bring people into the kingdom of God that they might have the hope of an eternal home with God in heaven. On one occasion when we were in Haiti, we were in an area called Zaï. And this was way out in the bush country. One of the members of the church that was in Jeremy lived in this area. She had been sick and not able to attend for quite some time. And so the group that I was with, we stopped by to visit with her for a little bit. The husband was there. He was not a member of the church. And he was so impressed that a group of men would take the time to come and to visit his wife, to have prayer with her, that he wanted to study the Bible. And so our day, for the next hour or so, we spent talking with this man. He came to understand the truth, what he needed to do in order to be saved. And so he was baptized into the body of Christ on a Monday, sometime around noon. 8 days later, he was working in his garden, and as he was working, the heat overcame him, and he passed out, fell, hit his head on a rock, and he passed away. But he died a Christian. He died a child of God. And you see, that's our purpose. It's to give people the hope of an eternal home with God in heaven when they depart from this world, whether it's in Haiti or Aruba or Germany or right here in Tennessee. The mission is the same, to bring people into the kingdom of God. And all of us have a responsibility in doing that. Many times we might look at the preacher, we might look at the elders, we may look at someone else and say, well, it is their responsibility. We think about missionaries that maybe travel to different parts of the world, and we say, well, it's their responsibility. But you see, we all have the responsibility to tell others about Jesus Christ. Now, there are some who perhaps are not able or do not feel comfortable sitting down eyeball to eyeball with someone, opening the pages of God's Word and talking about their soul. Perhaps there are some people who, because of educational purpose or lack of education, are not able to do that. Many of the people in Haiti cannot read. Many of the people throughout the world cannot read. There was a lady down in Aruba that I came in contact with and began to study the Bible with her. And she said, well, Larry, I cannot read. She was in her mid to late 70s at that time. She had diabetes. Her eyesight was almost gone. She had had both legs amputated. She said, Larry, I cannot read. If I could read, or if I could see, I would not be able to read the Bible. Said, my physical health will not allow me to go out and do the things that I would like to do or that I should have been doing through the years. She said, so whatever you tell me to do, I will do. That's a scary thought. When somebody puts that much trust in what you have to say. But you see, we need people who are willing and able to talk to people like that. And to guide them and point them in the direction that they need to go. But you see, she didn't stop right there. She obeyed the gospel. She became a Christian. But not only did she become a Christian, but she introduced us to other people who also became children of God. Now then, she was not a reaper. She was not really a sower, but she was a tiller. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning over the next few minutes. Tillers, sowers, and reapers. When Jesus looked at the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. He saw that there was a need in their life, and he was willing to do something about it. As we look around at people in the world that we live in today, we see people that are in need. They're in need of the gospel, of course, but many times they're in need of material things or emotional support or whatever the case might be. And we need to be there for them. We need to encourage them. And all of us, doesn't matter what our age is, doesn't matter what our background is, doesn't matter what our educational level or financial level or anything else is based upon, all of us can be one of these three. We can be a tiller, or we can be a sower, or we can be a reaper. Now, we'll define these as we go through our lesson this morning, or the way that I've defined them for our lesson. But Jesus saw the multitudes, and he said, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." You see, we need people who are willing to go to places like Haiti, but we need to find people who are willing to go down the street right here in Henderson or in Lexington or whatever town you might live in. Because you see, the message is the same. It's salvation in Christ Jesus and in no one else. And it's our duty and our responsibility to reach out to individuals and to tell them about Jesus Christ. And all of us can be involved in some way of spreading the gospel. The Bible tells us in the Gospel of John, chapter 4 and verse 35, "Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest." I love looking at the cotton fields. Last week I was out in Texas visiting with some congregations, and they have some massive cotton fields out there. I mean, they just go on for miles and miles and miles. It's a beautiful sight. But you see, somebody had to prepare that ground. Somebody will have to bring in the harvest. Somebody had to plant the seeds. Now, sometimes there's people that can do all three of these. There's some people that can, they're tillers or sowers and they're reapers and they're active in doing all of these different areas of work. But not everybody can do that. Now, I grew up over in Arkansas in farm country. Grew up on a farm. We had a small farm that my dad operated, just a real small farm, but we were able to make a living off of that. And we had a big family. There's 12 kids in our family. I'm number 10 in a line of 12. And so we come from a pretty good sized family. But we were able to make a living off of that. And so we had to learn how to do some of all of these things. Well, I think it's important that we have people that can do everything. But there's some people that it's more difficult. But you see, the harvest is there. The harvest is ready. There are souls right here in your community, souls in Lexington, there's souls in Haiti, there's souls around the world that are looking for the truth. The harvest is ripe. It might be because of difficulties that they're going through that they're beginning to look towards God for guidance and for strength and for help. It might be because of problems that they're having in their family that you can sit down and talk to them and encourage them and maybe bring them closer to God. But there's ways that we can reach in and touch people's lives. The tiller. Are you a tiller? A tiller is one that prepares the ground for the seed. A tiller is one who goes into people's lives, and they may not feel comfortable in telling somebody about Jesus, but they can sit down and they can begin to till the soil. They can open the door for others to go in and to tell them. We baptized a man several years ago over in Lexington. Hal Overman was his name. He's passed on now. His wife Nancy has departed. Both of them died as faithful Christians. Hal was about 78 years old when he obeyed the gospel. And after Hal obeyed the gospel, he came by my office one day and he said, "Larry, I know that as a Christian I need to be at work, but I don't know what I need to do. I don't know what I can do." He said, "I'm not very well educated. My health will not allow me to travel. My health, my legs, I've got neuropathy in my feet, and so I won't ever help wait on the Lord's table. I don't feel comfortable getting up and praying." He said, "But I like working with flowers." He said, "Would it be all right if I take care of the flowers around the building?" And so, of course, we were glad for him too. Nobody was taking care of them. They were just surviving at the time. And so he began taking care of the flowers and the garden around the building in different areas. And it wasn't long before we got some phone calls from the community. They wanted to know, well, who is taking care of the flowers around the building? It's looking a lot better. You see, he was tilling the soil. He was opening the door for us to be able to reach in to somebody's life and to encourage them to obey the gospel. He was never going to preach a sermon. He was never going to travel overseas. He was never going to conduct a home Bible study, most likely. but he could do what he could do. And that's all God asks of any of us. We need tillers. We need people who can go into the lives of other people and open the door so that others perhaps can go in and plant the seed, and even others can go in and bring in the harvest. But those doors are important. When our medical groups go down, when our church leadership groups go down, when our work groups go down and they're working on a building or they're working in the community, they're tilling that soil and opening the door for the gospel. We mentioned earlier in our Bible class period that the IST, the School of Theology down in Haiti, the medical team that came down this year went to the school and saw over 400 people that day at the school, and that has already opened the door. I know of at least two people who have obeyed the gospel because of that. You were tilling the soil. You were preparing their hearts and their lives to receive the Word of God. And then other people, Brother Baldwin and others, went in and talked to them and taught them the Word of God. You see, there's work that we can all do. Whether it's overseas or whether it's right here in our own community, there's work that we can do. But the seeds the land needs to be tilled. The hearts of people's lives need to be tilled. We have examples of tillers in the Bible, and some of these people, you might say, well, they were also sowers and reapers, and certainly they were. But we read in the Gospel of Matthew about John the Baptizer. And the Bible says that he prepared the way for the Lord. You see, he was tilling the ground, getting things ready for the Lord's coming, getting things ready for the coming of the kingdom. And because of his work, on the day of Pentecost, some 3,000 people obeyed the gospel. Some of these people had been taught by John and prepared to hear the message of salvation, and they were ready when it took place. In Acts chapter 6, we read about the seven men who were chosen. The problem had arisen. The Grecian widows were not able to get the food, their daily substance that they needed. And so the apostles, they appointed seven men to look after this. We see that's tilling the soil. That's preparing the hearts of men and women to hear the Word of God when it is presented to them. In Acts chapter 9, we read about a lady. We don't know a whole lot about Dorcas or Tabitha, whichever way you want to look at her. Her name's given both ways. But the Bible says that when she died, that those who were around her brought their garments that she had made for them. You see, she was tilling the soil as she was reaching out into people's lives. She was tilling the soil. And we do the same thing today. If we are helping people with their financial needs, we help them with their physical needs, whatever it might be, we're tilling the soil and preparing their lives for that. We read in the Bible, in the book of Acts chapter 8, about Philip. When he went to the Ethiopian as he was traveling down the road in the chariot, he said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" You know, sometimes that's all we have to do, is say, "Do you understand what you're reading? Do you understand what you're doing?" We used to have a Hardee's over in Lexington. It's been gone for probably 25 years now or more. But I remember being in there one morning for biscuit and sausage. And I was in there with some of the members from the Broad Street congregation. And there was a man from the Bargainton congregation that was there. And we were sitting there talking, and he saw a friend of his come in who had not obeyed the gospel. And so this friend from Bargainton, he got up and he went over and he said, and I'll just call his name George, and said, "George, how are you doing? Been missing you at church." See, he had been visiting the Bargainton congregation. And he looked at him and he said, "Don't you think, George, that it's about time that you obeyed the gospel?" Well, you see, he was tilling the soil. He set up a Bible study that I was able to go on later, where we were able to plant the seed, and George obeyed the gospel. See, tilling the soil, doing what we're able to do. That's what Philip was doing here. He was tilling the soil. Now, he tilled the soil, he planted the seed, and he reaped the harvest shortly thereafter. But he was preparing this man to obey the gospel. In the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, we read about the parents' responsibility. The children are to obey the parents. That means that the parents have the responsibility to teach their children. The fathers are told to bring their children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. You see, they are to till that soil through the years to prepare those young hearts and those minds to receive the Word of God when they get to the age of accountability. And it's wonderful when we see children obey the gospel, when daddies are able to baptize their children into the family of God. You see, that's all in tilling the soil. There's ways that we can reach into people's life. The book of Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 19 says, "He who tills his land will have plenty of food." Well, you see, if we till the hearts of men, then there will be a harvest that we can reap. But we've got to be willing to till that soil. Practical ways that we can do some of these. You know, it's one thing in talking about it. It's another thing in trying to think of ways that we can reach into people's lives. And certainly we can do this in many ways. And I just listed six of them here. There's so many more. And I'm sure we could go around the room. We could probably name 100 very easily of different ways that we can till the soil and reach into people's lives. But when we have opportunity to reach into people's lives, when we have opportunity to help them, then we need to be there to help them. Sometimes during a time of sickness. Being able to go to the hospital and visit with people and tell them about Jesus Christ. Encourage them to be or to listen to the Word of God. Handing out tracts. You know, we do most of our bill paying online now, but when we would send in bills, many times we'd put tracts in with the bill as we send it in to the water department or wherever it might be going. You see, there's ways that you can come up with to till the soil, to touch people's lives. Inviting your friends to worship and to Bible study. Encouraging them to come and to hear the Word of God presented by those who work here. Having a young couple in your home. Or offering to babysit for a young couple. You know, those of us who have children can probably remember when our children were small and maybe we were strapped for money and couldn't go out to do some of the things that maybe we would like to do. And the stress that was involved in that sometimes. Well, sometimes if you know of a young couple like that, if you offer to babysit for them and to send them out for a meal or to a movie or something, then that can open the door into people's lives to teach them eventually the Word of God. Making phone calls, writing letters, visiting people that visit the congregation, encouraging others by speaking to visitors as they come and visit the congregation here. There's ways that we can till the soil. And sometimes we have to look for those ways. Tonight, I'm going to jump over to our evening service now. This evening at 5 o'clock, we'll be gathering again. And I'm going to be talking about the importance of claiming your ministry. Finding your ministry. Finding a work that you can be involved in. And so I want to encourage you to come tonight because we'll be talking about some of the ways that you can do that. But are you a sower? A sower is that individual who says, okay, I might not feel comfortable in sitting down and open up the pages of God's Word and really digging into it, but I don't mind hosting people. I don't mind bringing them into our lives and teaching them the Word of God. In Matthew chapter 13, we read about the parable of the sower. And we know that there's four different types of soil that the seed fell upon. Now then, just think if all of that soil had been tilled in advance. And we know the parable there is talking about the hearts of men and how that some men have a hardened heart and they don't receive the Word of God. We understand the meaning behind the parable. But what if the soil had been prepared in advance? Perhaps even more people would obey the gospel. We need to, in the book of Acts chapter 2, Peter and the other apostles, that when they stood before the multitudes on that day, they were speaking to people who had already had their lives tilled, their hearts tilled through the teaching of John and through the teaching of the apostles and through the teaching of Jesus. And so now the seed is being sown and it is falling on that fertile ground. It's falling on hearts that were tilled and prepared to receive the message of Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us that some 3,000 people obeyed the gospel. But the apostles were willing to plant that seed. They were willing to spread the Word of God. We have to be willing to do that as well. We have to be willing to reach out to people in our community and encourage them to listen to God's Word, whether you conduct the Bible study or not. You've got some great Bible teachers right here in this congregation. If you don't feel comfortable in sitting down and studying the Bible with someone, perhaps one day you will, but contact one of these men or women. They'll be glad to go with you. I'll volunteer Brother Sewell to go with you anytime. And I know that he would be willing to go, because he loves souls. We need to love souls as well. In Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas are in prison for preaching and teaching the Word of God. Now then, they were in their prison cell singing and praying. But at the same time, they were planting the seed. They were tilling the soil and planting the seed. And the Bible tells us that the jailer and everybody in his household, before that night was over, obeyed the gospel, because they were willing to do what they could do. You see, we need to be willing to do that. We need to be willing to touch people's lives and to teach them the Word of God. Some practical ways of sowing the seed is certainly we can open up our homes to Bible studies. We can volunteer our home. You can go to the preachers or the elders or those who reach out into this community on a regular basis. You can say, "My home is available. Come into my home and I'll bring people there and you teach them the Word of God." What a wonderful opportunity that would be. We can help send others on the mission field. You may not be able to go, but maybe you can be a sender. You can help others to go and to teach the Word of God. Or you can encourage them to go on a medical missions or a construction mission or whatever it might be to do what needs to be done. You can certainly live a good Christian life before others and set the right example of people in your community. You can send a tract to a friend or hand them out as you travel. You can take them to people who are in the hospital. You can visit erring members and encourage them to come back to the family of God. You see, there are practical ways that we can reach into people's lives and to teach them the Word of God and to plant that seed in their lives. The Bible tells us in the book of Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, we know it as the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against these things there is no law. You see, simply living the life that God wants us to live tills the soil and it plants a seed in somebody's life that perhaps one day will take root and grow. Have you ever heard of the Japanese bamboo tree? Some of you probably have. But the Japanese bamboo tree is a tree that, when it is planted as a seed, it has to be watered on a regular basis. The first year that you plant the seed and you water it on a regular basis, nothing happens. The second year, nothing happens. The third year, nothing happens. It doesn't even break the soil. The fourth year, nothing happens. It doesn't break the soil. But in the fifth year, that little sprout begins to grow. And within 90 days, that tree can grow to over 40 feet tall. You see, it's that persistence of planting the seed, watering it on a regular basis, that tree can grow and to be what the farmer wants it to be. And I understand they can make some pretty good money off of that in that part of the world. But you see, we have to be persistent in what we are doing, in reaching out and telling others and living the life that God wants us to live. You see, our mission is so much greater than just today, because your life affects people not only today, but for generations to come. My grandfather came, or actually he's my great-great-grandfather, I believe it was, came to the United States in 1753. He and his wife and two sons. His wife died on the way over, was buried at sea. But the decision that he made in 1753 decided for me where I would live, decided for me the language I would speak, decided for me many of the foods that we would eat through the years. You see, the decisions that we make today affects generations to come. And if the world stands another 1,000 years, either souls will be saved or souls will be lost by the example that you set and by the seeds that you sow in the life that you live today. But are you a reaper? Are you one that's willing to reach into the lives of people and bring in the harvest no matter what the cost? Even though people are going to slam the door, even though people are going to get angry, even though people may get upset with you from time to time, are you willing to reach into their lives and to teach them the Word of God? Certainly we have reapers throughout the Bible. A reaper is one who is willing to bring the harvest in, even when it's not easy. And sometimes it's not. Sometimes we have to spend long hours. Sometimes we have to spend months or maybe even years talking to people and encouraging people. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Jesus realized that while he was in this world, he had a responsibility to mankind, and that his responsibility would continue on even long after he left this world. Well, we need to realize the same thing. We have a responsibility to our fellow man, but that responsibility does not die when we do. That responsibility lives on, and that responsibility will be carried out if we are living the life that God wants us to live. The Bible tells us in John chapter 19 and verse 10 that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. We need to be seeking lost souls. We need to be finding ways that we can till the soil, plant the seed, and bring in the harvest so that souls can be saved. Throughout the Bible, there are reapers. It was very difficult for them. Stephen was a reaper. He stood boldly before others and told them what they needed to hear, even though it cost him his life. The Bible tells us that when Stephen was being stoned to death, that he looked up into heaven and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Now, every other example that we have in the Bible, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God. But when Stephen, as far as we know, he was the first martyr for Christianity, and when Stephen was being stoned to death, instead of sitting at the right hand, I believe that Jesus was standing to honor him because of what he was willing to do and the price that he was willing to pay. In Acts chapter 9, we read about Ananias. He was afraid to go to Saul because Saul was a persecutor of Christianity. Yet he was willing to go, and he did go. We read about Paul, and while he, in the book of Acts chapter 14, while he was stoned and drug out of the city and left for dead, what did he do a few days after that? He got up and went right back into those cities and taught the Word of God. Why? Because he knew that people needed to hear it. We read in 2 Timothy about Timothy's mother and grandmother, Lois and Eunice, who were there to help him and to guide him and to till that soil, to plant the seed, and eventually he became an evangelist in the kingdom of God. We read in the book of Revelation about a man by the name of Antipas. We don't know a whole lot about Antipas other than he gave his life for Christianity. He was a martyr for Christianity. You see, there are people who are willing to reap. There are people who are willing to till. There are people who are willing to sow. Where do we find ourselves? What part are we in? What are we doing for the kingdom of God? Bringing in the harvest. We can offer to go. We can take someone with us and help train them that they might become a tiller, that they might become a sower, that they might become a reaper in the kingdom of God. Invite other people, young people, to go with you on Bible studies. You know, I'm thankful that when our daughter was growing up and we were in Aruba, almost every Saturday morning I had a Bible study with someone, and she would go with me on those Bible studies. Today, she and her husband are serving as missionaries in South Florida among a Spanish community, teaching the Word of God. You see, we have to prepare hearts and minds to carry on the message and to do what needs to be done. By knocking on someone's door, by looking for visitors when they come to our worship service, by opening our home up to others, and certainly by praying. You see, prayer can open up so many doors. I was talking to a lady over in Lexington one time, and this was when we were living in Aruba, and she said, well, I wish I could come, and I wish I could do more. She was approaching 90 years old at the time. And I said, well, it might be when you're sitting in your easy chair or you're sitting in your rocking chair on the front porch and you're praying to God about the work in Aruba, that prayer may be what opens the next door for the gospel to go in. You see, we can all do something in the kingdom of God. When it comes to mission work, we're all involved in it. Oh, there might be some that are a little more out front than others, and that's okay. But the thing about it is that we all are involved working together for one purpose, and that's to bring people into the kingdom of God. Tillers, sowers, and reapers. I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. See, there are souls that need to be saved, souls that need to hear the gospel. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. My question to you this morning is, are you a tiller? Are you a sower? Are you a reaper? Or are you sitting on the sideline letting someone else do the work that you're able to do? I want to encourage you to take a good look at your life this morning. And if you are not a child of God, if you have not come into the kingdom of God, certainly we encourage you to do so before it's too late. Obey the gospel while you have the opportunity. The man in Haiti did it. And 8 days later, he departed from this world. We don't know how long we're going to live. So if you're not a Christian, we encourage you to become one by obeying the gospel. But if you are a child of God, and I believe I'm speaking primarily to Christians this morning, if you look at your own life this morning and you realize that the life that you've been living, you have not been sowing the seed, you've not been reaping the harvest, and you haven't been tilling the soil, maybe you need to make some changes in your life. Maybe you need to do that privately between you and God. And that's fine. But if we can help you in any way, we encourage you to come right now as together we stand and as we sing.